claws the eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport Podcast. My name is Jack McCarran of the Southern Star, and I'm joined as always by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. Before we kick things off, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and viewers to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. It's a rowing special on this week's show, as we reflect on yet more remarkable performances from Skibbereen rowers on the international stage. On Sunday afternoon in Varese, Paula Donovan and Fintan McCarty added the 2021 European title to their 2019 World Crown. The Skibbereen duo raced to gold in the A final of the lightweight men's double at the European Championships. And on today's podcast, we'll chat to 2016 Rio Olympian Claire Lamb about their performances. Fellow Skibbereen rower Emily Hegarty won a silver medal. The Offaly woman is part of the Irish women's four that finished second to the Netherlands, and we'll speak to Emily a little later on. But Kieran, first, your own reflections on what was a stunning weekend for Irish and Skibbereen rowing in Italy.
I think I need to start writing the sequel to Something in the Water, Jack. Such was the brilliance of the Skibbereen rowers, and indeed the Irish rowing team at the Europeans last weekend. 17 Irish rowers went over eight crews, and six of those crews got to A finals on Sunday. And the six Skibbereen athletes that went to the Europeans also got to the A finals. So brilliant weekend of rowing. You obviously mentioned there Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarty winning gold. And that's probably the headline line from the weekend, because that Irish men's lightweight double is favoured for the gold in Tokyo later in the year. So there was a bit of pressure on them at the European Championships to see where they are at this stage of the year. And they're right bang at it from the very start. Very impressive win. They won their heat on Friday, their semi-final on Saturday, and the final then on Sunday. So when you consider that they've only had a couple of weeks together in the boat after the trialing process over the winter, to hit the ground running and show such good form so early is very encouraging for what lies ahead. At the moment, the entire Rowing Ireland team is still on in Varese for a six-week training camp ahead of World Cup 2 in Lucerne in mid-May. So what that means, all the rowers are going to get time together, flat water over in Italy, good weather, a really, really good solid training block. So that should really kind of push them along in their fitness-wise, their technique, their ability in the boat and so on for the next World Cup. Because if you look at the winter just gone, usually the Irish rowers head away for camps in Seville and so on, but they couldn't in the last winter. So this is an important building block for what's going to follow. But Fintan and Paul were so impressive, Jack.
And it wasn't just Fintan and Paul who picked up medals. Obviously, I mentioned Emily, and we're going to hear from her later on. But you caught up with 2016 Rio Olympian Claire Lamkeeran, and you spoke to her not just about the medal winners, but also the other performances from some of the Skibbereen rowers over there, the likes of Aoife Casey, Liddy Heafy, and the aforementioned Gary O'Donovan. So before we hear from Claire, maybe just give us a taste of what she had to say.
Claire is a former Olympian herself. She raced in the women's lightweight double at the 2016 Games in Rio. That's the same Games that Gary and Paul won Olympic silver. So Claire knows the sport inside out, back to front and upside down. So brilliant to get Claire Lamb on the podcast and to get her take on a great weekend for Irish rowing and Skibbereen rowing. So obviously, Claire knows lightweight rowing, like I said, inside out. So she's great insight on the lightweight women's double of Aoife Casey from Skibbereen and Margaret Crimmin. And Lydia Heafy is another Skibbereen rower in the reckoning there. So brilliant insight here from Claire as she reflected on a superb weekend for Irish rowing. We're delighted now to be joined on the podcast by Rio rowing Olympian Claire Lamb. Thanks for coming on the podcast this week, Claire.
Thanks very much, Kieran. It's great that you're given so much coverage to the rowing.
Such an incredible weekend at the European Rowing Championships. And we can kick this chat off by looking at the lightweight women and how they fared over the weekend. We saw the lightweight double of Aoife Casey and Margaret Crimmin finish 5th in the A final. And this is an improvement on their performance at the 2020 Europeans, and probably means too they get a boost ahead of the final Olympic qualification we get in Lucerne next month. But what do you think they need to do, Claire, to take one of those two spots on offer in Lucerne?
Like, I think it really showed a big jump, a big progression from last year. They're like, they finished seventh last year, but they were quite in the race this year. Those five or the four boats ahead of them have already qualified and also would probably be a final medalist standard going into the games. So they really put down a good mark. They've got 6 weeks now into the qualifier. No doubt Dominic will put them through their paces, and they'll probably have a very tough 6 weeks and then a nice wind down into the qualifier. But I imagine they're looking to peak for the qualifier. And like, I think it's still going to be really tough for them, but they showed really good speed at the Europeans. And I think that, you know, with a bit of luck on their side, they actually could be in contention for one of the two places remaining.
You look at the age profile of the lightweight women with Rowing Ireland at the moment. Aoife is 21, Megs is 22, Lydia Heafy in the single is just 23, I think. So it's such a young group. So obviously the Tokyo Olympics is later this summer, but the Paris Olympics is only 3 years' time in 2024. So is Paris a more realistic target for this for this group of lightweight women?
I think so. They got a massive boost when that announcement came around, because the way we were looking at it in rowing was that this was to be the last Olympics for the lightweights. But due to COVID and kind of financial pressures on the Olympic organising committees, they decided not to bring in Coastal and retain the lightweights for another cycle, which I think for those lightweight girls, it's going to be, it's just such a boost, because yeah, it was almost just coming too soon for them as Tokyo. And I think Paris is like a realistic chance where they can be probably medal contention at that point. So like, by no doubt, the goal for them over the last few years has been Tokyo, and that's still the goal. And hopefully they will do it. But Paris, I think, it is a more realistic long-term chance. And like with the trajectory that they are on and the talent and the natural ability they're showing as well in their scores and stuff, I think they've got a really good squad there, and it's really exciting to see what they'll do come Paris as well.
Another exciting squad at the moment is the women's heavyweight contingent at Rowing Ireland. And we saw the women's four superb at Europeans. They got a silver medal, brilliant result. And we've Emily Hegarty from Skibbereen on the podcast chatting about it this week. And your sister, Emer, is in that boat too. So how pleased were you to see them win silver last Sunday?
Oh, yeah, it was so exciting. And it's a pity, like, obviously the celebrations and getting a big crowd into the house to watch the race, so it was more like our neighbors WhatsApp group kind of buzzing away. But yeah, it was really exciting, and I'm so grateful to, like, I'm so proud of Emer and the joy she's bringing to my parents now that they're continuing on the international circuit following all the races. And yeah, it's so nice to see how happy my parents are. They've put in so much work all through all the years, and she's really kind of bringing them the reward. So yeah, we were absolutely delighted for her. And I think it's been coming, like the quality of the heavyweight women's squad. Again, the scores they're pulling is really, really impressive. We've never been anywhere near these scores and the depth of quality in the squad. We haven't been here before, and I think, yeah, we knew they had it in them, and then it was great that they actually were able to put that out there and show we actually are world class. So yeah, it's I'm afraid to put like too much mass on it, but it's looking good for them, definitely going into the qualifier.
Yeah, like you said there, they're also going into the final Olympic qualification we got in Lucerne next month, and they're hoping as well to take one of the two spots on offer. How would you rate their chances now, Claire, after seeing what they performed last Sunday?
Like I say, like, I think it's looking good, but you're going into quite an unknown event. Like, basically, we've only seen them perform in Europe the last 2 years. They haven't raced beyond Europe, I suppose, since 2019. So there are going to be probably unknowns coming into that regatta who we wouldn't know the form of. And one of those is going to be China, who, like, they always produce, come around to an Olympic year, really strong rowing country. So they'll be strong contenders. We do know that the Kiwis are not sending a four to the qualifier. So, and they'd also be very strong in the women's heavyweight. So Yeah, like, and also then on top of that, that regatta, they'll have to perform under probably the most pressure they'll ever have raced under in their careers. And they are a young enough squad. So I think if they can get the best race out of themselves, it's looking really good. But I'd be afraid to, you know, say it's a guarantee.
It was a great weekend for the women's four, and it was a superb weekend for the lightweight men's double as well. We saw Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy show again that they're a winning combination. They won gold. Just how impressive are they, Claire?
They just look so strong, like phenomenally strong. And I think Fintan as well. I remember him in the crew room back probably in the Rio cycle of things. So maybe you're talking 2014 and he's like horsing into buckets of peanut butter, trying to put on weight. And now he looks like he's really come on. He's looking really strong, a real top class lightweight now at this stage. So he's backing up Paul with that strength. And I think, yeah, they'll probably finesse their technique a bit over the summer. So I think there is more speed to come. But yeah, it was pretty dominating performance.
Just on Paul for a second, I put up a tweet during the week and it got a load of reaction. I was just saying he's probably one of the greatest sports people that Ireland has ever produced. He's an Olympic silver medalist, 4-time world champion, a 2-time European champion. Just how good is Paul O'Donovan?
Yeah, I think we all would just see Paul as almost a freak of nature. Like, he really is phenomenal, but it's not just his physiology, it's his attitude as well. We're all well aware of it in his interviews, that kind of chilled, he kind of says it as it is, he keeps it really simple. So he's kind of got the whole package. And technically, like, just he has some unusual technique that probably wouldn't be the model form of what we'd be coaching and that sort of thing, but he grips up the water, he's phenomenal on the catch, and then he just has the power to carry it through. So yeah, he's an all-rounder in the sport of rowing. And yeah, with the results now to his name, it's hard to, I don't know many Irish athletes that are 4-time world champion and an Olympic medalist. Like, so yeah, I'd agree with you, but it's a difficult one to argue.
Like, it's an incredible story, I suppose, the Paul and Gary story. And you mentioned earlier, Fintan is now the man in possession of one of those seats. And I'm thinking back to 2016, and I was talking to Fintan before. And that Friday when Gary and Paul won the Olympic silver medal, Fintan was inside in the Paragon Bar down in Skibbereen watching the race on the big screen. And he was telling me after that he was looking at it and he was saying, there are two fellas from the same club with the same coach, doing the same training program. And if they can do that, why can't I do it? And now we look 5 years later, Fintan is in the boat with Paul going to the Olympics. It's been an incredible rise for Fintan, but he's earned his place in that boat too.
He has, yeah. He's just come on year, and it's pretty amazing kind of how he was inspired by the two brothers and then to put himself in this position five years later. Yeah, he's done a great job, and he has earned it, and he performed well in the single last year as well at the Europeans. He kind of his first chance to prove himself as a single athlete. So yeah, he does deserve it. Like,
Gary's obviously not in the boat now, and he finished fourth in the single at the Europeans. But given what we saw last Sunday, Fintan and Paul look locked in for the double going to Tokyo at this stage, don't they?
The fact that they performed so well, it'd be very hard for Dominic to open that up again. I don't think he will, and I think Gary is aware of that as well. He said that in his post-race interview. He's readjusted his goals now for the single this year, and just to be ready if he does get the opportunity to step up. I think he's shown such a mature attitude, and he's a brilliant role model for that reason. Like, there can only be one winner, and there's a lot of people that, you know, have to go through the knocks of sport, and how he's handling it for others in the team, even, you know, who have missed opportunities. Just reset and set yourself for your new goal. Like, he's doing that really, really well, and at least he's putting that out there in the public as well for other athletes. So again, he inspired people in 4 5 years ago in Rio, and I think his attitude now is pretty inspirational now. Yeah. In this cycle. So.
And it's nearly 100 days to go to the Olympics. It's closing in faster than we ever thought it would be. How excited are you for the Rowing Ireland crews going over? We know we've 4 crews already there, possibly 2 more. And we haven't even mentioned Sunita, who's a great medal prospect. And obviously, Fintan and Paul now as well. It could potentially be a very good Olympics for the Irish rowers.
It could, yeah. Like, still 3 months to go. I think Lucerne will be a better tell, the World Cup in Lucerne. So obviously there's the qualifier and then the World Cup on the same week, will be a better indicator of where all the crews are at. Obviously it's still like quite early in the season to be even be racing 2Ks. But there's no doubt, yeah, they're going in probably one of the best prospects for Ireland as a sport. And yeah, I hope they can achieve kind of what's now starting to be expected of them, but it is looking good, and hopefully now no setbacks between now and Tokyo, and they get a good run in and do what they're capable of doing.
And finally, Claire, as a rower yourself and as an Olympic rower and as a huge rowing fan, the growth of the sport over the last couple of years has been phenomenal. When you look now, 17 rowers went to the Europeans last weekend, 8 boats, and Sunita wasn't even part of that crew that went over there. The sport is just, it's hitting new highs at the moment here in Ireland.
Yeah, and it is a testament, I think, to the coaches. And that's at club level who are producing the juniors and the young athletes that are coming into the system. But then the high performance system that's in place now, they've got a really good formula that, like, Frankie and Antonio Morgiovanni, Giuseppe, working with the heavyweights, have done a phenomenal job in building, and particularly the women's four, who they kind of started out with quite a raw product, let's say, really young athletes coming in, to now be in contention for qualifying and then, you know, a lot beyond that come Tokyo. So I just think they've done a lot for the sport in Ireland, and credit to them. And then, of course, can't not mention Dominic Casey, who's built an depth now in the lightweight squad, and that's across the men and the women. Like, he's not World Rowing Coach of the Year for no reason. We're so lucky to have him, and hopefully he'll stay with us for a good while longer.
Exciting weeks and months ahead. Thank you, Claire, so much for joining us on the podcast this week.
Thanks, Kieran.
Kieran, Gary O'Donovan was another who impressed out in Italy, and despite not winning a medal, he seemed relatively upbeat when he spoke to RTE's David Gillick in the aftermath. We're going to play some of that audio in a minute, but what were your own main takeaways from Gary's showing over the few days in Italy?
First off, Gary's interview with RT and David Gillick was so impressive, Jack. It was a real honest assessment of where Gary is right now. And he admitted that he is very unlikely to get back in the double for the Olympics this year. It looks pretty locked in at this stage that it's going to be Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy. So that can be easy for Gary to watch the boat that he made famous, and he's not part of it now, and he's looking at Paul and Fintan, and they're winning European gold and they're going on to the Olympics in great form. But as I've said before, Gary is just a class act on and off the water. Great time for that man. He's just a superb role model for any sports person out there on and off the water. So he finished 4th in the lightweight men's single scull, and that was a really good performance, because he wouldn't be known as a great single sculler in his own right. You're talking about Paul O'Donovan. Paul is a superb single sculler, and he was twice world senior champion in 2016 and 2017. But Gary wouldn't be as strong in a single. So to finish 4th at the Europeans, it actually was progression from the last few major championships when he raced in a single. So he finished in 4th. To be quite honest, he was never really in the medal conversation. He was 6th for a large part of the race, but in the final 500 meters, he made his move and passed out 2 boats. But he wasn't ever close enough to the top 3 medal positions. But a good performance. And he looked too to build on what he showed in Varese. He's at that training camp as well. What he wants to do now is make sure that he's in the best shape possible, just in case something happens to the double. And I'm touching wood here that all the rowers get through the next couple of weeks and months injury free. But let's say something did happen to either Paul or Fintan. Then Gary is the backup who'll step into that double. So he needs to make sure that he's the best he can be over the next couple of months. And he will. That's Gary. Like, he's an Olympic silver medalist, a former world champion. He's the the ultimate professional. So he'll be ready when he's called on. And you'll hear now from his interview with David Gillick. Brilliant interview, and my favourite interview from the weekend, to be quite honest. That he was very honest and open about where he stands right now in relation to the double and the single.
I mean, I think I'm not. I don't think I'm able to put my full capacity into the water at the minute because of the way I'm rowing. I'm not running with the boat. I'm not getting that right feeling with the water. And then, you know, what power I'm putting down isn't being used as efficiently as I think it could be. And I think that's costing me, yeah, down the middle. And I think if I can get that right, then I should be able to move faster down the middle of the race and be closer to the medals than towards the finish.
And look, when we look ahead, obviously there's a lot of talk about the double. You're looking at the Olympic Games. Where do you go from these championships?
I'd say, like, in my mind, I'll probably just be trying to make the single go as fast as I can. I don't think there'll be much more. I don't think there'll be much of an opportunity for me to get back in the double because the guys are going so well, and that's a testament to them. You know, fair play, they're really, really going well. So I think that opportunity is probably gone at this stage. So I'll just keep on tipping away and doing my best and trying to improve and go as fast as I can. And then if you know something goes wrong, I'll be there as a backup and a reserve, and I can hopefully do a good job if that happens. But I think, yeah, just for me and for the time being, is trying to go as fast as I can in the single and do as well as I can at the next regatta.
And for an athlete of your calibre, is that enough motivation for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's not as if... I think, you know, it's good to see that the guys are going so well in the double, because I think that just kind of shows that... Like, you know, when I was in the double, I was going well, and it's not... I didn't make the double because I'm a bad athlete, you know. It's just that the other two guys are so good. And I think, you know, like, for me now, it's just like keep going and just trying to be the best athlete I can be at the moment. And then if the opportunity presents itself for some reason and I do get a chance, which as unlikely as that might seem, then I will be in a position to take it, you know, I think. But yeah, it is. Yeah, it's motivation. I enjoy rowing. I like racing, and I want to do as well as I can, no matter what race I'm in. I mean, I'm here competing in international regattas, and I think if I can get my act together and row a little bit better, then hopefully I'll be able to compete for gold medals and do better than I'm doing already.
Well, that strength and depth in Irish rowing, and particularly in your own event, is very, very strong. And that's obviously something that's pushing all you guys to a new level. But like you said there, you want to get faster, you want to get better. And it's great to see that enthusiasm coming from you.
Yeah, thanks. You know, like, I mean, it's just kind of the way we've been doing this forever, and we've been trying to get faster our whole lives. And I don't think because I'm not in the double, I should stop trying to get any faster. It's still an exciting prospect to try and move the single faster than I've ever moved it. And we'll see. I'm enjoying it. Like, I'm enjoying my time in the single and learning how to race. And I think, you know, like, 2019 was my only other season ever racing in the single. And when I was racing at the European Championships there, I was like somewhere like 16th place, or I was way down the ranks. And when I raced at the World Championships, I was miles behind the guys in the medals. So I think I'm much closer to the medals now than I was then. And it's exciting to try and get into that position where I can hopefully win medals at international regattas in the single.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Up and down woman Emily Hegarty picked up a silver medal in Varese as part of the Irish women's four that finished second to the Netherlands in Sunday's A final. Ireland finished in 6:27.96 with the Netherlands winning in 6:27.51. So a gold medal was only 0.4 of a second out of reach. A brilliant showing from Emily and her teammates, Kieran, and you had a chance to speak with her.
Yeah, Emily, we were chatting to her live from Varese on the training camp earlier this week, and she was in great form, as you'd imagine, after winning a European silver at a senior international championships. Over the last couple of years, she's picked up medals along the way. She won a silver medal at the 29 World Under 23s in Florida, and she won a bronze medal in the women's pair at the 2020 European Under 23s in Germany last year. But this is a step up for Emily. This is a senior international regatta, and she's new into that women's four, but she's slotted in there straight away, and she looks right at home in a very impressive women's four that will look to try and qualify for the Olympics. They're not there just yet, Jack. They're going to Lucerne next month in the final Olympic qualification regatta. And they're in a good place now to take one of the two spots that are up for grabs. But as you know, in sport and in rowing, nothing is guaranteed. So they'll have to go out and perform in Lucerne next month. And there's probably a bit of expectation on them right now, given what they produced at the Europeans last weekend. And as Claire Lamb mentioned earlier, to gauge where this Irish crew is compared to the Dutch crew is very important, because that Dutch crew are very, very good. Are they European or world silver medalists? And to see Ireland come within half a second of them is very, very encouraging. So over the next couple of weeks in the camp, they'll get time on the boat together, and hopefully that will leave them in good shape before they hit Lucerne in a couple of weeks' time. But before we hear from Emily, just to touch on the lightweight women for a quick second, Jack. We'd two Skibbereen women are in that lightweight group. You've Aoife Casey is in the boat with Mags Crimmin from Rochestown. You also have Lydia Heafy from Lepp in the women's single. And all three lightweights got to A finals last weekend. So Aoife and Mags finished fifth in the A final of the lightweight women's double, and Lydia finished sixth in her lightweight single final. That lightweight double also has a chance to qualify for the Olympics. So they're also going to the Lucerne qualification regatta in mid-May. And they'll also take a lot of positives from the weekend. The general consensus is that double is an outside chance to qualify for the Tokyo Olympics. That's not to say they can't do it, because they can. And they showed last weekend when they got to an A final for the first time that they can hold their own in that elite company. So they have a lot of work to do over the next couple of weeks. But it's exciting times for Irish women's rowing. The heavyweight group is very strong. The lightweight group is very strong. And as you'll hear from Emily Hegarty now from Affadown, she's in good spirits ahead of a busy few weeks. We're delighted now to be joined on the podcast all the way from the Rowing Ireland training camp in Italy by Skibbereen's own Emily Hegarty, who was a silver medalist from last weekend's European Rowing Championships. Congratulations, Emily. Fantastic result. How does it feel to be a silver medalist from a senior international championships?
Thank you so much. It's a massive confidence booster, and like we've all put in like a massive, massive winters of work. So like it's definitely really nice feeling. Like it's almost like relief to see like it's paying off now, and it's a real boost going into the season ahead now.
You've won a couple of big medals over the last number of years. There was the silver at the 2019 World Under 23s, the bronze at the 2020 European Under 23s. But where does this rank now? This is a silver medal at the European Senior Rowing Championships.
Yeah, it's definitely nearly a bit surreal, to be honest. Like if you told me like a few years ago how like these few years would have panned out, like I don't think I'd be able to imagine it. Like I think for a while it kind of felt quite far-fetched, but no, it's definitely a nice feeling to like see results after putting in the work.
Coming into this season, Emily, there was no known form for any crews, so what was your expectation in the Irish women's four heading into the Europeans?
I think we had been doing quite well at like the trials and like in pieces and training and stuff. Like we were quite confident going in that like we knew we had the potential to be quite fast. But I think it's definitely nice to see like that come to form, and like it was our first international race as a new crew. So it's definitely really nice to see that speed, and like we know there's still margins to step up and to improve. So it's a really nice feeling.
You said there that things were going quite well in training and that you were quite fast. And let's go back to last Friday's heat at Europeans. You won your heat, but you're also the quickest qualifying crew from that as well. So how much confidence did you take off your performance in the heat last Friday?
I think it was definitely a good like race to like shake off the nerves, and we kind of knew from there like okay, like we're in with a shot of like meddling here, and like it almost made it more like exciting to get like you wanted to get stuck in then. It wasn't a case of like oh like they're close, like a bit of panic or anything. Like we knew if we stayed relaxed and like stuck to our race plan, like we knew we were fast enough and fit enough to be up there fighting for the medals. So that was it was a good boost going into it, yeah.
And what happens in between Friday and Sunday? Because the heat was on Friday, the final was on Sunday. So you'd Saturday to yourselves. Were you out in the water again? Did you take it easy? What did you do between the two races?
Yeah, so we would have gone training. We did kind of a longer swim maybe in the morning, and then just quickly up the course in the evening, just like keeping the legs fresh, like staying in touch with the boat and just kind of preparing, taking it easy then between like just resting, watching some races.
Head into Sunday's A final. What was the expectation for you then? Were you thinking, okay, let's get into the medals here? Are we looking for a performance? Or what was the target you set yourself?
Yeah, we definitely knew like from our heat that we weren't a good chance for a medal. So it was more so just kind of giving it a go, sticking to our plan.
and you definitely were in contention right the way through. And if we're looking at the last 500 metres, Emily, you passed out Great Britain, you were closing in on the Dutch. So was there any point in the race where you were thinking, okay, we could win a medal here?
I think we didn't do anything special off the start, but like we always kind of were in contact. So we kind of knew as long as we stuck with them that, you know, we knew like we are probably the fittest we've ever been. Like we knew we are fit enough to kind of push through the second half. So I think that was kind of our main thing, just stay in contact for as long as we could at the start and then just try to push through as we continue the race.
And have you had a chance to look back on the final yet? And what are your thoughts when you do look back in it?
Yeah, we actually did. Like we watched it last night with the highlight show on RT. And like, it's just kind of funny. Like we actually thought in the start, we were like, okay, we can work on a few things here. You know, like we kind of did kind of notice a few things that we can step up on. So that's positive going like into the next few weeks of training.
And you mentioned the next couple of weeks of training. Currently you're staying on in Italy. You have a training camp ahead of the next regatta, which is in Lucerne. And that's the big regatta, Emily. That's the final Olympic qualification regatta where the women's four will look to take one of the two available slots left at the Olympic Games. So how much confidence can you take from the Europeans going into this training block and then take that into Lucerne?
I think, yeah, we're here in Varese for the next 4 weeks and then travelling straight from here to Lucerne. And I think, yeah, we are like delighted with the result. Like we knew that the Dutch were kind of a class act, and like if we could get as close as we could to them, like we would be delighted. So like we were really like, it was a really nice boost finishing the race having come so close to them. And I think it was only ourselves and Russia from that A final were yet to qualify. And like we know there's a few boats to come into it, like China, for example, like we raced them in lanes. There's maybe like potentially a New Zealand crew, like we're not 100% sure who will come from outside of Europe for the final qualification, but like it's definitely, we know we're in with a shot. So it's just kind of digging in now to the next few weeks, like the job isn't done yet. So
oh, it's very exciting times at the moment. And like you said there, you're in Varese now for the next couple of weeks. Besides getting the good Italian weather, what are the other benefits of this block of training?
I think a big thing is like it is a massive thing with recovery, just being away on training camps. So for example, like all our meals are cooked for us. Like we don't have to get in the car and drive 20 minutes to center. Like we're bussed everywhere. Like, you know, like coaches would drive us. We come in, like the most we have to do for ourselves is like go to the laundrette once or twice a week. Otherwise it's completely like you're there to train. And then once you're off the water, just relax, recover, eat well, look after yourself. And I think it puts you in a good position, whereas like at home you'd be running around like doing food shops, cooking for yourself, driving to training, all those things. Whereas that's kind of, those are kind of worries that don't apply here essentially.
You mentioned too earlier, Emily, as well, that you're new into this women's four crew. So how easy or hard is it to slot into a seat in that boat?
I think considering like the group of girls, like we all are very competitive with each other, and I think no matter who was in the boat, it was going to go fast. That's kind of how it, like, close the margins were at the end. Regardless of who was in the boat this weekend, it still would have more than likely got the same result. Like it was just so close coming into like the trials and everything. So I feel like we had a winter of swapping, and like we'd be in pairs together, fours together, all different combinations up until a few weeks ago we were set. So it definitely, like, we all slot quite well rowing with each other, so it wasn't a massive thing to get us to gel, because I feel like we had such a winter where like we were rowing quite similarly, we were all performing like the same essentially. So I think it was kind of easy enough. I think we got to a stage where no matter who was in the crew, it was going to work.
And as well as being a great weekend for Rowing Ireland, it was a great weekend for skipperine rowers too at the European Championships. The six skip rowers that went over to Varese all got to A finals. Paul and Fenton took gold. Emily, you got silver. Lydia got through to her first A final at a major senior championships. Aoife Casey and Mags Crimmin finished fifth in the lightweight double. So what a brilliant weekend for skipperine rowing again.
Yeah, to be fair, it's like, it's a really cool thing to be part of that. Like, it's just so nice as well. Like we, like myself, Aoife Casey, Lydia, we would all row together as juniors. And it's just really nice, like having this now together, like having the same experiences and just being out here together. It's really nice. It's almost like a bit of home almost.
That's brilliant. No, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, Emily. Best of luck in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Welcome back to the Star Sport Podcast. And we've obviously been talking about rowing for much of today's show. And Kieran, I expect rowing is also going to dominate
the sports section of this week's paper.
Yeah, we have a busy sports section this week and a big sports section, Jack. And obviously, rowing will take centre stage because it's not every week where you have West Cork athletes winning medals on a European stage. So, and especially in an Olympic year as well. So very encouraging signs for what lies ahead. But there's plenty of other reading in our sports section this week as well. We have an interview with Kinsale golfer John Murphy, who was selected on the Walker Cup team that will compete in Florida in early May. Tom Savage of the Three Red Kings, who's quickly becoming a fan of the show, Jack. He's breaking down why Gavin Coombs is so good. So he's looking at different aspects of Gavin Coombs' game, and he's explaining to us what makes the Skibbereen and Munster star such a special player. We have interviews with Luke Mead, the Newcestown hurler. I was chatting to him about the Cork's hurling campaign, which will throw in next month when the National League starts. We have a very good interview with Cork Ladies football manager Aoife Fitzgerald when he talks about the breaking of COVID-19 training regulations. He talks about West Cork players coming back from injury. He talks about the addition of the likes of Brian McCarthy from West Cork to the management team and so on. So good interview there with Aoife Fitzgerald. Big weekend too last weekend on the Camogie front when the Camogie Association have formally kind of, I suppose, what's the word I'm looking for, Dave, accepted, you could say, Jude players into their rule book. So we've our take on that. And there's plenty of more in there besides. John Buckley from the West Cork League is looking ahead to what the West Cork League season will look like. So loads in there, Jack. Plenty for our readers to sink their teeth into from Thursday morning on.
Well, I can tell John Buckley what the West Cork League will look like at the end of the season, and that will be Baltimore Crabs at the top of the pile. But anyway, Kieran, we'll leave it there. And just a reminder that if you can't make it to the shops on Thursday to pick up a copy of the Southern Star, you can always subscribe online. Just go to www.southernstar.ie/epaper and you can read the Southern Star on your computer, tablet or smartphone for less than €2 per week. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Slán tómil.